Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Gimel. Towards the end of yesterday's shiur, we discussed the Chachamim's opinion that one is obligated to take off Trumas and Maisos on the grains, for example, when they reach one-third of their growth, shlish of their maturity. And this was based upon the idea that Kim Lehul Rabbanon, the whole Tua Sheniktzro B'chag, any wheat that had been able to be harvested at Sukkot's time, definitely be Yodua, Shevi Shlish, that they Rosh Hashanah, had definitely matured to at least a third of its maturity, a third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it is considered as being from the last year and has all the halachic status of from the previous year if it was harvested on Sukkot's time. And this is where we're going to start off today's discussion. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu LeRav Zeira. Rav Yirmiyahu says to Rav Zeira, this is found about 6-7 lines down from the top, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Yirmiyahu is famous throughout Shas for asking these types of questions, and we'll see this in a second. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu LeRav Zeira. Rav Yirmiyahu asks Rav Zeira, V'kim lehu l'rabbanon bein shlish l'pachos mishlish? Were the rabbis so certain about the difference between something that was grown to a little bit less than a third of its growth to a little bit more than a third of its growth? Is it possible that we should be so absolute in our measurements that we would be able to ascertain, oh, if it hasn't grown a third of its growth yet, so then it belongs to the next year. But if it's grown a third of its growth, then it belongs to the previous year. Do the rabbis really have such an understanding or such a fine distinction in Shiurim? As Rashi says, the solution of Bismiyah, he's shocked at this. Are they so expert in the knowledge about the growths of these grains, that they're so certain that if it grew by Sukkot's time to be able to be harvested, it absolutely grew one-third of its growth at Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it goes from the previous year? That's what Rav Yirmiyahu asked Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira tells him, Amalei, lav amino loch, haven't I told you beforehand? Lo topic nafshoch levar mehuchasa. Do not get involved in such things. As Rashi says, lo faktfek b'shiur chachamim. Don't question the shiurim of the chachamim. Rashi in Sota says similarly, kol direi chachamim shenikvu al taharer achreim. If the rabbi said something, do not question this when they have these types of statements. And in fact, the Maariv Tzchias and the Yafei Naim both point out that the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Rav Yirmiyahu asked such a similar question, and he was ejected from the base medrash because it was leaving the Hilchasa, and he was questioning, so to say, the Chachamim's ability to have such exact, precise measurements, and he was thrown out of the base medrash. He was ultimately allowed back into the base medrash towards the end of Bava Basra, but the Yafei Naim adds that Rav Zeira was asking him, do you want to get thrown out again for the base medrash? You got to stop asking these types of questions. Now, Rav Yirmiyahu, in his defense, will eventually retract this question and say, no, I was wrong, and he'll try to bring a raya against himself, which more will actually disprove, but in any event, these are questions that Rav Yirmiyahu has throughout Shas. So, what does Rav Zeira tell him? Rav Zeira tells him, don't question Chazal, leave all of these things that are in the halachic measurements the way that they are, because komidos chachamim kenu, this is what Chazal had mekubal, they had Halacha Moshe Sinai sometimes, or this was the Masorah that they had from Har Sinai, that these are the exact measurements. Many of them are Midaraisa, and therefore you can't play any games with them and don't question them. For example, we have three examples here in the Gemara. Be'arboim saw who's tovel, be'arboim saw chaser kortov eino yochel likbo behen. A person is obligated to go into a kosher a mikvah of 40 saw. That we had learned out previously, if you remember. In the previous Masechtas, we learned out how you calculated out that 40 saw is the shear. It's based upon psukim. In any event, this 40 saw shear is an exact measurement. You require a mikvah to have 40 saw, then it's a kosher mikvah for a man to be tovel in. If you have 40 saw minus chaser kurtov, even if it's missing just a kurtov, Rashi says, is mida ketana ma'od, a very, very small measure. It's echod meches, it's 1/8 of Bishminis log, it's 1/8 of an eighth of a log. In other words, it's an eighth of an eighth, so it's a 1/64 of a log. Now, a log is 1/24 of a saw. So if you have over here 1/64 of something that is 1/24 of a single saw, so therefore a kurtov is 1/1536 of a saw. So it's an extremely small amount of a saw. Now, a mikvah has 40 saw. So 40 times 1,536 equals 61,440. So a kurtov
in relationship to a mikveh is 1/61,440th of the entire mikveh. That's an extremely small, minimal amount that you're missing from a mikveh if it's missing just a kurtov. And nevertheless, if it's missing just that small amount, it is not a kosher mikveh. How do we know this? Masorah from Har Sinai. That's the first measure that we give us. The next measure is kibetza metami tumas ochlin, kibetza chosa shum shum enu metami tumas ochlin. The shear for something to be able to transmit tumma has to be the size of a betza, an average size egg of a chicken. So this is the shear of a kibetza. Now, that amount can transmit tumma. If an item has less than that amount, it cannot transmit tumma. As famous machlokas, Rashi Tosos could even accept tumma. But here we're talking about transmitting tumma. Everybody agrees that if you don't have a kibetz's worth, it can't transmit tumma. But if you have a kibetz's worth, exactly 1.0 kibetz's, it can transmit tumma. But if you have kibetza chaser shumshum, if it's less a sesame seed's worth of a kibetza, that's a very, very small percentage of the kibetza, ain't no matami to a sochlin. It can't transmit further that tumma. So even assuming this was able to become Tameh, it can't transmit the Tumah if it's less than the size of a Kibetza. That's the second shear over here that Rav Zeira tells Rav Yirmiyah. And the third shear is a din of Medrash. Medrash, again, is something which if a person who has a certain type of discharge from their body, like a Zov or a Zova, it could be a Yoledis as well, so if they sit on something, so then that item that they're sitting on becomes an Avatumah, known as Tumas Medrash. Now, an item that they're sitting on could be a cloth. So if the cloth is of a significant size, it can accept tumas medrash. So what is that size? Shlosha al shlosha, since it's masculine, it must be talking about tfachim. So shlosha al shlosha tfachim, mitame tumas medrash. If you have either a garment or you have a cloth that is 3x3 tfachim in size, so it can accept tumas medrash. But if it was missing even one thread, shlosha al shlosha chaser nima achas, if it's even missing one thread, so then it's not going to be capable of kabbal tumas medrash, and it's too small, it's not considered a significant shear. So these three examples, with the mikvah, with the transmission of tumah, with the kibetza, with the ability to accept tumas medrash, with the shlosha shlosha tefachim, minimum requirement cloth, so all of these are examples where the shiurim of Chazal are exact, and if you're missing it even by a little bit, it is not good, and that's why Rav Zeira tells Rav Yirmiyah, do not question. If the rabbis tell us that the shear is a shlish in terms of growing the tefuah, and if you have it by Sukkot's time to be able to harvest it, it must have grown a share of a shlish, at least by Rosh Hashanah, so then take it to the bank and don't question it. So, Hod Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Lav Milsi, the Amri. Later on, Rav Yirmiyah retracted what he had said. He said, I don't have any question over here. If the rabbis tell us that the shear is a third, that it grew a third by Rosh Hashanah, if it was able to be harvested on Sukkot, so then I have no questions. Why? Because, Deboi Minei Chavraya Mirav Kahana. The Bnei Yeshiva, his chaverim in the base medrash, asked Rav Kahana the following shaila. Omer, the carbon omer that is brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, that matirs all of the new product of grain to be eaten. That's what's called, it no longer is chadosh, it now becomes yoshan, by the bringing of the carbon omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. So that omer, that first carbon that they brought when they entered Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, Sheikrivu Yisrael, Bechnisasun La'aretz, Meheichon Hikrivu. Where in the world did they get that barley to bring the carbon omer? They didn't have barley with them in the midbar. So how did they get barley when they entered Eretz Yisrael to go and be makir for the carbon? Are you going to tell me, im tomar da oil biyad nochri, that it was owned by the nochrim, by the goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they took it from them? That can't be, because the pasuk tells us, vaveisem es omer reishis kitzirchem el hakohen, kitzirchem amar rachmona, velo kitzir nochri. You have to bring your own crop, and you can't take the crops that grew in the possession of a nochri. So therefore, where did they get the barley to bring the carbon omer the first year that we entered into Eretz Yisrael during Yemei Yoshua? So the Gemara says, mimai diakrivu. So maybe they didn't bring it that year. Dumalo akrivu. Maybe that year they didn't bring any carbon omer because onus rachmona patri. What can you do? They didn't have any barley. They didn't own any land yet in Eretz Yisrael, so they didn't bring a carbon omer that year. Gemara says, don't think that for a second. Lo salka daitach. Why? Because the pasuk says, dechsev vayochlu me'avoro aretz mimochras ha-pesach. It says in Yoshua that when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they did eat Mimacharas HaPesach. B'davka, they ate only Mimacharas HaPesach. Mimacharas HaPesach ochul, meikar lo ochul. They weren't allowed to eat yet the Chodosh before they brought the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Obviously, the Akrivu Omer, v'hadar ochli. They must have gone and brought a Korban Omer that first year, because the Pasuk says that now they can eat Mimacharas HaPesach after Pesach. They can now eat the
new crop. So the day after the first day of Pesach, on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, they brought the Korban Omer, obviously, and now they can eat the new wheat. How where did they get again the barley to go bring the Korban Omer? So Amar Lehen. So this was the question that they asked the Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana answered them, Kol Shalohev Yishlish Biad Nochri. It must be that it didn't yet grow one third while it was possessed by the Nochri. And when we took over the land, the barley was not considered in the possession of the Nochri. It grew in our possession to reach the shear of a shlish, and therefore it now could be offered as the Korban Omer. Now this was the conversation that Rav Yirmi had brought to try to prove that he was correct in retracting his statement that Chazal do know the shear of a shlish. So he brought down this conversation between Rav Kahana and the others in the base medrash, and now Rav Yirmi says, I'll show you that I'm right. Bidilma oil v'lo kimlu. Maybe, in fact, the barley had actually grown to a stage of being more than a shlish. Now, if it grew more than a shlish, they wouldn't be able to bring it. Now, how did they know? Obviously, Elokimlo, Chazal were able to tell by looking at it, yes, it had grown more than a third, or no, it hadn't grown more than a third, and they found barley that they could say for absolute certainty had not grown more than a third, and therefore, they were capable of bringing the Korban Omer at that point in time. Therefore, Hochanami, Rav Yirmi says, Kimlo, I have to agree that Chazal, if they see that the crops were produced, they had ripened by Sukkot time to the point that they could be harvested, by definition, it must have been clear that it grew one third to a shlish before Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Rav Yirmiya is saying, this is the reason why I retract it. I myself see the Chazal obviously know when there's a shlish. But the Gemara says, that's not true. Rav Yirmiya's proof is no good. Rav Yirmiya's retraction is still accepted because that is the din, but his proof is no good. Because maybe, Vidilma, it could be lo ayo klal. You know what? It hadn't ripened at all. You didn't have to be a genius. You didn't have to be an expert in agriculture to know that this was brand new barley, that it hadn't ripened at all. And therefore, in that situation, they could clearly say, Vadai hadn't grown a third in the hands of the Nochri, and therefore when we took it over, it now is considered our barley, and it reaches a third in our possession. But that's because it was so early in its maturation, clearly you could argue that it hadn't grown a third. But maybe, if it's actually going through a fourth of its maturity, and now a little bit more, so, but maybe, when it gets so close to the level of growing a third, to reaching a shlish, they actually could not tell whether it's less than a third or more than a third. So, you can't bring me any raya from this story. Someone again says, no, lo sol kadaita, don't think that. It is a good raya, because the siv, it says, v'yom alu min hayardein de'esor l'chodesh, because it says, Klai Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th day of Chodesh Nisan. Now, if you're going to tell me, v'isolke daitoch, de lo ayo klal, that they found barley there that hadn't ripened at all. So, they're entering into Eretz Yisrael on Yud Nisan. Are you telling me, by Tes Zayin Nisan, the first day of Chol Hamoed, b'chamisha yomei, mi komalya, how did it possibly grow from being absolutely clearly not one-third, it's just at the beginning of its maturity, to growing more than one-third? And they can now bring it as the Korban Omer. So that's impossible. So therefore, it must be that they could tell the difference between less than a third and more than a third. Because in this short period of time between Yud Nisan and the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, there's no way it could have grown if it had been so immature. Gemara says, okay, so what are you going to tell me, Elamai? The Isle River or Danka, that it had grown already a fourth river, or Danka is a sixth. When Klal Yisrael entered on Yud Nisan, the Jewish people took it over. And then, by the first day of Chol Hamoed, 5 days later, it had grown now more than a third? Are you telling me that it went from a sixth to a third in a five-day period of time? That's too fast also. Akate b'chamisha yomei mikomalya. How did it possibly grow so much? So therefore, Elamai Yisrael Chamema, what must you say? That Eretz Yisrael is unique. Eretz Yisrael is special. Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. Eretz Yisrael is referred to as the land of the Tzvi. A Tzvi is a very, very fast animal. Rotz katzvi. We should run like a deer to do mitzvahs v'kodesh baruch hu. So just like the tzvi is a very, very fast animal, so therefore the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the grain of Eretz Yisrael, is compared to the tzvi, and it is capable of ripening so fast. So if it could go from a sixth to more than a third in such a short period of time, so then it's not a stretch to say that it went from almost nothing maturity to more than a third in such a short period of time. So, Hachanami, Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. So therefore, once you're introducing a nace over here, that it could go from a sixth to more than a third, so then it's no big deal to say it went from a 20th to more than a third as well. A nace is a nace. Once a nace occurs, so the nace can be anything. So therefore, Rav Yirmiya's proof has been disproven. However, the din that we brought down from Rav Zeira and from Rav Yirmiya, who retracted his original position, and the Chachamim, is that in fact, Kimlu, the Chachamim are capable of telling what is the size of a third, if it's less than a third or more than a third. Chazal do have the ability to make such a distinction, and therefore, if it was harvested on Sukkot, you could take it to the bank that it was already grown more than a third by Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, last year, the year before Rosh Hashanah, is the year of that in terms of Trumas and Maisos, in terms of Shemitah, in terms of all the other dinim of what year it is for that produce. So again, the din is Hevi or Shlish, so then it's considered mature, and it goes in that year that it was Hevi or Shlish. More questions. This Maskev Ruchinina. Ruchinina asks, "Umi Matzis Amris the High Osif Kotzirhu." We had brought down from Psukim. We had said, "It said the Chag Osif Bitzeis Hashanah Bios Picho Es Maasecha Minasodeh." That was the proof. We had darshan that at the end of yesterday's year that the Chag Osif was teaching us that it has to grow at least a shlish. More questions. This Umi Matzis Amris the High Osif Kotzirhu. That this word the Chag Osif was referring to when they harvested the produce during Chag Sukkot. Voksiv, we have another posuk that tells us Bios Picho Migornecha Umiyekvecha. It tells us that they would gather in over here the Goren and the Yekev. What is the Goren and the Yekev? So Rashi elsewhere tells us that Psolus Goren means the cushion, the stalks. The Yekev means the Psolus Yekev, Zemoros Vieshkolos Rekodim. It means the empty twigs and branches of the vine. So therefore, these are what you make your schach out of. As Rashi points out, the schach has to be from something that is Gidulo min Oretz, and it's Ein Mekabel Tumah. So this Psolus of the Goren and the Yekev, these Kushin and Zemoros, are the perfect schach. And therefore, when it says Chag HaOsif, Lav Yisrehu, it's not a next word. That's the name of the holiday. We call Sukkot after the schach. And this Psolus of the Goren and the Yekev, that's what the Pasuk is telling us. So you can't tell me Chag HaOsif means necessarily when they're gathering it in because it's an extra word. It's not an extra word. So Rabbi Chanina just slugged up the entire shir. And Amar Rabbi Zera said, "Oh, Mills, have I been done? We thought we had everything perfectly settled in our hands. We thought we had the answer to all these questions. But for also Rabbi Chanina, along comes Rabbi Chanina with his question, and Shod the Benagri, he threw at it an axe. A Nagri is an axe. As Rashi says, Lomar, the High Osif, Shaper Mishtama Belishnum Dekra, it was necessary. And therefore, Belav Yiseiru, it was telling us the Din of Schach, and it's not telling us that you can darshan out what we darshan out, and therefore, we are stuck. As Rashi elsewhere says, this Loshon of Shod the Benagri means Heshiv Teshuva Nitzeches. It means he gave us a perfectly certain answer to our question. He has a winning argument, and there's nothing we can do. He has slugged it up. No, so Gemara says, Elami Nolit. So then, how do we know this din of a shlish? If you're not learning it out from Chag HaOsif, so then where do we know this din of a shlish? So Gemara says, Kidetanya. That's what we learned in the following brisa. Rav Yonah ben Yosef Omer. Rav Yonah ben Yosef tells us, the also es hatvua lishlosh hashonim. This pasuk from Vayikra tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, if we keep the Shemitah year, the also satvua lishlosh hashonim. The simple understanding of this is, if you keep the Shemitah year, don't worry. I will give you such a bounty in the sixth year that it will last for the seventh year, the eighth year, up until the ninth year when you have more crop. So therefore, that's what the simple understanding of the pasuk means. But we turn to Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where we darshan it as follows. The Gemara says, Al tikre lishlosh. Don't read it lishlosh for 3 years, elo lishlish. We darsh in this pasuk, not lishlosh, but lishlish, which tells us, hevi or shlish, it's grown to a third of its maturity. And in this sense, it's considered complete, and therefore, that is the din that we learn out, hevi or shlish, so it's now considered a crop for that particular year. Gemara says, but wait, v'homi b'ale l'gufe, what we needed for the drasha that I just mentioned, which is a very important drasha to tell us, don't worry, even in the Shemitah year, Hashem will take care of us. He'll give us such a bounty in the sixth year that it will last well beyond the Shemitah year. So you'll have to eat in the sixth year. You'll have to eat in the seventh year. You'll have plenty to eat even in the eighth year until the eighth year crops can finally come to produce. And in the beginning of the ninth year, you'll start eating the eighth year crops. So it will last for 3 years. We need this for that drasha. How can you tell me that it doesn't mean lishlosh? It means lishlish. Where it says, no, ksiv kroachrina. We have another pasuk to tell us this beautiful drasha. The pasuk tells us, also vayikra, uzratem eis hashanah hashminis, b'chaltim in atua yoshon ad hashanah hatshias. That pasuk tells us, don't worry, you're going to go and have a bounty, and when you go and plant now in the eighth year, you can't plant anymore in the seventh year, and you are planting in the eighth year, it takes a while for it to grow, but don't worry, you'll still be eating the tua yoshon, you'll still be eating the tua from the sixth year throughout the rest of the sixth year, throughout the seventh year, and throughout the eighth year, until the eighth year crops are finally ready to go at the beginning of the ninth year. So therefore, we already have a pasuk to tell me this beautiful promise, this haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we can darish in this pasuk not lishlosh, but lishlish. That is, in fact, the source of this din of heyishviyo shlish. Mari tells us, Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah in Shviyas, it says over there, ha-orez, orez is usually translated as rice, vadochen is usually translated as millet. Some disagree and say it's the opposite, but we'll just go with the simple translations right now. We're not that interested so much in the orez and dochen in and of it. Itself, we're interested in the general din. Orez v'adochen v'aprogin. Progin is often translated as poppy, but there are other translations as well. And finally, shumshimin. Shumshimin is sesame seeds. So all of these orez, dochen, progin, and shumshimin, shehishrishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah. It says in the Mishnah in Shviyas that if they had hashrosh, if they were rooted before Rosh Hashanah, so then we count it misasrin l'shavar. They're counted for the previous year. If the previous year was the second year of the cycle, then you'd be giving ma'aser sheni. If it's the third year of the cycle, then you'd be giving ma'aser ani. So if it took hashrasha, if it rooted before Rosh Hashanah, so then for these types of items, orez, dochen, progin, and shumshimin, Rashi calls these souls mine kidneyos, the various types of beans or legumes. So in all of these, if they took root in the previous year, misasrin l'shavar, they go by that previous year, whatever year that was, 1, 2, or 4, or 5, then it would be ma'aser sheni. If it was 3 and 6, it would be ma'aser ani. If it was a shemitah year, then it wouldn't have any chiyuv in shumas ma'aser because everything is hefker. That would be misasrin l'shavar. And therefore, if it wasn't a shemitah year, and now that was the sixth year, now it's the shemitah year, umutar mishvias. They don't have kedusha shvias, there's no problem. V'im lav, if in fact they were shishrishu achar Rosh Hashanah, if they took root after Rosh Hashanah, so then they have whatever status is of the current year. So if the current year is a Shemitah year, asur b'shvias, they would have all of the Kedusha Shvias attached to them, and umisasrim l'shanah haba. And if you're not dealing, Rashi says, with the Shemitah year, bishanas likitoson in mishar shnei shavua, he she'ena shvias, if it's any year other than the Shemitah year, so whatever year you're in right now, misasrim l'shanah haba, this year, it means Hashanah haba, means this year, that's they were planted in the previous year, but they only took root now, so therefore they count for this year in terms of if this is the first year in the cycle, so now they counted for Ma'aser Sheni, etc., etc. This is what the Gemara says is the Mishnah in Shviyas teaching us. And on this, Rabbah asks the question, Amar Rabbah, Amar Rabbanon Ilon Basar Chanota, wait a second. We learn that in regards to fruit trees, you go after the Chanota when it blossoms, when the fruits start to come out. Tavua v'zeisim by grains, the chameshes minei dogon, and by zeisim, by olives, basar shlish, you go after hevio shlish, if it reached the third of its maturity, and by yarek, basar lakita, and by vegetables, you go after when they're picked. Now, if you're telling me that the chachamim say that the orez, dochen, and progin, and shumshimin go after hashrasha, so they don't seem to fit into any of the categories. They don't fit into the categories of fruit. They don't fit into the categories of dogon, of tvua, and zeisim. They don't fit into the category of vegetables. So they seem to be their own separate category. Rabbi says, is that really true? So Gemara says, hold on, Rabbi. Rabbi himself said, yeah, they have their own separate category. Mitosh, asuyin, prochim, prochim. Why do they have their own separate category? Again, Rashi points out, all of these are dinim derabbanan. And therefore, the rabbis are allowed to set up these din derabbanan the way they see it most appropriate. And since the way these types of legumes, these types of kidneys, the orez, dochen, progin, and shumshimin are normally harvested, is they're not harvested all at once. So you take a little bit, and you chop it up. And you take a little bit more, a little bit later, and you chop it up. You take a little bit more, and you chop it up. So it's made prochin, prochin. Rashi explains, mitok shegarnon osri ma'at ma'at. When they go and harvest it, they only take it in a little bit at a time. She'en nil kotin kiechot. They're not all ready at the same time, even though they're planted at the same time. El ayom lokin mufarachim ma'at. Today they take a little bit over here that's mature. Ulamachar ma'at. And then tomorrow they take a little bit more that's mature. V'nimtzu chadosh v'yoshe me'uravin yachad. Since they're all harvested at different times, when you'll have this one crop, it is one crop, it was planted all at one time, but it matures at different rates, so you're going to put it all and gather it in your silo, so you're going to have some that was In fact, Lakita was before Rosh Hashanah, and some of it was Lakita after Rosh Hashanah. So, if you would tell me you go after when it's harvested, like normally we would for vegetables, Lakita kishar yerek, that we would go after Lakita like other vegetables, kishi mafrish mas rosav, when you want to take off trubas and maizes from it, havalei maizem and a chodesh ala yashim and a yashim ala chodesh. Then there would be different years. If you went by Lakita, well, some of this was milkat, some of it was harvested before Rosh Hashanah, some of it was harvested after Rosh Hashanah. But it's one crop, so they're all stored together in the same silo. So what are you going to do? How are you going to take off one to the other? It would be taking off Chodesh and Yashin, and Yashin and Chodesh, which you're not allowed to do. So therefore, the rabbi set up, Azle Rabbanan Basar Hashrasha, to prevent this potential takala, because you'd be mixing last year's crop and taking Trumas and Maizes off on this year's crop, or vice versa. So Rabbi said, don't go by when it's picked, but over here go by when it was rooted. So they're all planted at the same time, they all took root at the same time, and therefore they'll all have the same din, regardless of when they were actually picked. And Rashi brings down a very important idea over here. This is all midirabbanan hate. The whole din is the midirabbanan. V'yecholes b'yarech hachomim. And therefore the rabbis have the power, the right, likbo'as man, they can set up when is the considered time that it is able to be now taken off Trumas and Maisers, Lefi Daitam, according to what they think is best, Lekolecha B'yecha, for everyone. And therefore, because of the potential that people would make a mistake and think it's okay to take off Lakita from before Rosh Hashanah on Lakita after Rosh Hashanah, if you can do it by the Oriz Dochen and the Pragin and the Shumshmin, you can do it by other vegetables as well, so it could lead to a Takala. So Rabbi said, don't use that methodology over here. Instead, use Hashrosha. That is what Rabbi explained, this Mishnah in Shvius. Abaye questions this. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, V'yitzbor gorno l'socho. Rashi explains, U'mabakach. Why are you, Rabbi, say, oh, the rabbis had a new din over here, they had to set it up by a shrosha. Let them go and take the stuff that they gathered before Rosh Hashanah and mix it with the stuff that they gathered after Rosh Hashanah and say you go by Lakita. Ah, you're going to now have Yosh and Chodesh together, Muravim. So Yitzbor is called a gorin l'socho. So pile it all up together in one big pile. Kolomer, B'emtziyuso she'ei akol nivla yachad. Yofa, go mix it well together in the middle of the silo. So in this storehouse over here, you have a nice mix. It's well mixed of Chodosh and Yoshon. V'nimtzo kishi yitrom v'yaser. And now you take off your 2% for Truma, and next 10% for Maaser Rishon, the next 10% for Maaser Sheni, let's say. So, yehimina Chodosh v'maaser l'fi mashiyesh Chodosh v'goren. U'mina Yoshon l'fi mashiyesh Yoshon. It's all mixed in well together. So when you now take off, let's say 5 pounds. So if the mixture was 60-40, Chodesh and Yosson, so this 5 pounds will have a mixture of 60-40 as well. It's all mixed together. So whatever your mixture is, the same mixture will be in what you take off of Trumas and Maisers. So Abaye says, what's your problem? What would be the big deal if you went there to Lakita? Because you mix it all well together, so it will be the same ratio. So therefore, just like there's a ratio of 60-40, Chodesh to Yarshan, so when you take off Trumas and Maisers, since it's mixed well together, you'll have a ratio of 60-40 in the Trumas and Maisers. So therefore, you're taking off Chodesh on Chodesh and Yarshan on Yarshan. You're not mixing Chodesh taking it off on Yarshan and Yarshan taking it off on Chodesh. Abaye says, why, Rabbah, are you not satisfied with that? After all, the Gemara says, "V'nim tzatore min haChodesh shabo ala Chodesh shabo, v'nim tzatore min haYarshan shabo ala Yarshan shabo." This is perfectly good, and therefore there's no problem. Mi'el Tanya, after all, don't you agree with the following brisa? Rabbi Yossi ben Kippar, Amar Mishum Rav Shimon Shazuri. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippar said it over the name of Rav Shimon Shazuri, that Pul HaMitzri, Shazaru L'Zera. Pul HaMitzri is sometimes planted for the seeds itself, and sometimes it's planted for the vegetable itself. So, Rashi explains, this Pul HaMitzri is min kitnis, it's a certain type of legume, v'darkon l'zorun l'yerek u'l'zera. Some people plant it for the vegetable, and some people plant it for the seeds. V'hazorea l'yerek, if you go and plant it for the vegetable, so then, mis'aser acher l'kita, like all vegetables, you go after the time that you picked it. However, v'hazorea l'chol ezaro, if your intention is to eat the seeds, that's why you planted it, so then toras kitnios alav, then it has the status of kitnios, u'misaser achar shosha, like we just said by the oriz and the dochen, the progin and the shumshimim, you go after the hashrosha. So here you have this pul hamitzri, could have two different time periods for its trumas and maisos. If it's, again, planted for the vegetable, then you'd go after Lakita. If it was planted for the seed, then you'd go after the Hashrasha. Now they're mixed together. So it was planted for Zera purposes, so then some of it would be before and some of it would be after Rosh Hashanah. So now you got a problem over here. But how did Rav Shimon Shizuri answer that? In the case of Mitzaso Hishrish Lifnei Rosh Hashanah or Mitzaso Hishrish Liachar Rosh Hashanah, ain't Tarmim Numasim Mizelzeh. You cannot go and take Truma from the Chodesh on the Yashan or the Yashan on the Chodesh. So you're not allowed to do that. So what are you supposed to do? Ketzaduoseh Sober Gron L'Socho. So this is what you should do. Go and pile it all together in the middle of your Goren, in the middle of the silo. The Nimtza, now it mixes well together. Exactly what we just said. Abaye says, don't you agree with Rav Shimon Shizuri? He had said that in this situation of the Pula Mitzri, where some of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, and therefore should have that year, and some of it took root after Rosh Hashanah, and therefore should follow that year, but now you mix them all together, no problem. You mix them well together, and therefore, again, whatever the ratio was, it was 60-40 from Chodesh to Yarshan, so when you take off Shumas and Maestros, it will also be the same ratio, 60-40. So Abaye says, what is your problem, Rabbi? Why didn't you like this? So Rabbi says, no, Amalei. Rabbi says to Abaye, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Ka'amis, you read me a riot from this statement. Yosef Ben Keeper said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Savayesh Bila, the Rabban and Savri, Ein Bila. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri is of the opinion that even solids can be well mixed together, that the same ratio of 60-40 that you had overall would be mixed so well together that when you took off Chumas and Maisis, it would also have exactly the same ratio of 60-40. But the Chacham disagree. The Chacham say, no, solids don't mix, only liquids mix, as we'll see in a moment. Liquids can mix very well together. So when you have a liquid that, let's say, is a half of this type of wine and half of that type of wine, you could say that they mixed 100%. So when you're taking off Chumas and Maisis from it, it wouldn't be Chodesh on Yashan or Yashan on Chodesh. It would be Chodesh on Chodesh and Yashan on Yashan because it would mix exactly perfectly well. So there's no problem. But the Chacham hold that by a solid, by, for example, this Pula Mitzri, you can't do this. It won't mix well. So it originally 60-40, but now when you mix it, so you're taking off something from it, it's not necessarily going to be 60-40. It could be 59-41. It could be 61-39. You're not going to have exactly the same ratio because it doesn't mix perfectly. And that is why Rabbi said to Abaye, you have to answer like I said, that the rabbis made it all by Hashrasha and didn't want to give the answer that you had suggested, that they could have just take off in a same ratio because it doesn't necessarily mix when it's dealing with solids. How do we passing? The word says, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni says the name of Shmuel. Halacha, Rav Yosi ben Kippur, Shama Mishom Rav Shimon Shizuri. We passing like this, Rav Shimon Shizuri that we just brought down. Rav Zera says, really? Masiv lo Rav Zera. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Did Shmuel really say this? Shmuel seems to say the opposite. Shmuel's opinion clearly is that only liquids such as wine or oil mix so well, but solids don't mix so well. So if you're telling me that Shmuel says the halach is like Shimon Shizuri, he holds that solids mix very well. But Shmuel clearly said that solids don't mix very well. What's going on? So Gemara says, Ishtamitze hodi amar Shmuel. Rab Zera didn't remember that which Shmuel had said. Shmuel had said another din. He said, I call olech achar gemar peri. He says that it all depends on, when you take off Trumas and Maisers, on what's called the gemar peri. And Rashi says this applies, af hakitnios, lo hol chuben achar hashrasha. He disagrees with what we said before, that you go after the hashrasha, the rooting, and that you go after the gemar peri. When it's fully mature, that's when it's considered gemar peri, and when it's fully mature, that determines which year it's in, not the Ashrasha, not when it takes root. Now, there's only one problem. Shimon Shizuri, while he brought down in a Braisa that this applies to the pool HaMitzri, we had a Mishnah in Shvias that said that it applied to the Orez, the Dochen, the Progin, and the Shumshimin. So how does Shmuel, who's an Amora, argue with that Mishnah? So Rashi says he doesn't really know. The end of the Rashi, Dira Maslo Ishtamitze, he says, Vani lo yadati manhu ahutana. He says earlier in this Rashi that Shmuel obviously had another Tana that he relied upon, because Shmuel wouldn't argue against the Beferish Mishnah without having Tanoic support. But Rashi says, I don't know who that Tana is, but obviously Shmuel had a Tana that was on his side that Shmuel could say that the Halach is not like Rav Shimon Shizuri and not like the Mishnah in Shvias that says clearly there is Hashrasha by Kitnios. Shmuel holds that there is no Hashrasha by Kitnios, you go by Gemara Peri. And the Gemara says, we turn to your Dalet Rav Aleph, utzricha. You need all three of these dinim. Rashi says, Hani tlas de Shmuel. The three things that Shmuel said. Number one, Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni Omer Shmuel that said that the halach is like Kiryosi ben Kippur Shomim Shomer Shimer Shazuri, that Shmuel holds like Shomer Shazuri. Number two, that Lakol Ein Bila, Shmuel holds that you don't mix anything except for liquids. Solids don't mix perfectly well. And number three, Vakol Olech Acha Gemar Peri, that everything goes after the Gemar Peri and not by the Ashwasha. All three things of Shmuel's, his three statements were necessary. Why is that? Tzricha. You need all three. Because if you say any one or two of them, you won't know the third one. And the Gemara explains. The Ashmin, and if Shmuel had only taught us halacha like Rishim and Shazuri, that the halacha is like Rishim and Shazuri, you know what I would have said? Hav amino mishum dekos sabar yesh bila. I would have mistakenly understood him that he holds, like Rishim and Shazuri, that there's bila. So Shmuel agrees with the psak din of Rav Shimon Shazuri, but not for the reason of Rav Shimon Shazuri. And therefore, Kamash Rulon, Lakol Ein Bila, he had to specifically state he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon Shazuri's reasoning, which is Bila. Rav Shimon Shazuri says they mix very well, and Shmuel says, I'm sorry, they don't. And that's why he had to tell us that Lakol Ein Bila. Now, V'yashmina Lakol Ein Bila. So if you only told us that, so you know what I would have said, Habamina Kirabonin Sirlu. I would have said that he holds like the Rabbonin, that the Pul HaMitzri follows the Din of HaShrasha, like the Chachamim want to say, like the Mishnah and Shviyas, that you follow HaShrasha, and therefore, if it was HaShrasha before Rosh Hashanah, it cannot be mixed with HaShrasha after Rosh Hashanah. Oh, Kumash Rulon, Halacha Rishim Shazuri, albeit not for that reason. Therefore, you have to tell us, no, we possibly Rishim Shazuri, that you can go and take all one set of Trubas Abaisos, but not for the reason of Rishim Shazuri, who says Bila, he doesn't hold Bila. But therefore, he had to tell us that he doesn't pass like the Chachamim, he passes like Rishim Shazuri's Psak Halacha, albeit for a different reason. So that's why he had to tell us, we pass like Rishim Shazuri, and why he had to tell us, like Kol Nein Bila. And finally, V'yashmin and Hani Tarti, if he only told me these two, we pass like Rishim Shazuri, and like Kol Nein Bila, you know what I would have said? Hava Amina, Kashu de Shmuel Shmuel. Shmuel seems to contradict himself, because how do you hold that like Rishim Shazuri, but not hold Bila? So, you can't tell me, seemingly, he holds like Rishim and Shazuri, but he also holds Lakol Ein Bila. So therefore, that's why Kamash Alon, he had to tell us, Lakol Holech Achagmar Peri, the reasoning why he holds like Rishim and Shazuri is not for the reasoning of Bila. He doesn't agree with the derivation that Rishim and Shazuri had, albeit he agrees with the Psak Halacha. But the reason why he says that you go after what Rishim and Shazuri says, that you can give one Trumas HaMaisis for all of the Pul HaMitzri, is because you don't go after HaShrasha, you go after Gemar Peri. That's why you need all three. Or it says, no, just tell me that one. Yashmin and Hakol HaGemar Peri. If you just tell me that, you know what I said? Have a mina. If you look towards Asim, Nami. I would have said, you never go after anything other than Gemar Peri, even by Tfuah, by Dogon, the Chameshis Mine Dogon, and by Zaysim, and also by wine. You wouldn't even use it there. So therefore, Kamash Balon, the Aloch is Kroshim and Shazuri, B'mai Depaling. It's only over here on Pula Mitzri, on legumes, on kidneys, that we paskin like Rishim and Shazuri, albeit not for the same reasoning. But in regards to the dogon and the olives and grapes, so then we paskin, you go after Hevi or Shlish. Adigmor says, Lashmin and Hari Tarti, so just tell us these last two things. Tell us that Locha follows Rishim and Shazuri and Gemar Peri. Then why do you need to tell me the din of Bila? Lakole Bila Lomeli. Technically, you don't need that anymore. Once I know that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, but not for his reasoning, because we go after Gemar Peri, that by definition tells me that I ignore what Rav Shimon Shazuri said about Bila. So the Gemara says, why do you need that at all? So Gemara says, Ha Kamashlan, the Yayin of Shemen Yesh Bila. Without that statement of Shmuel that he holds like Lakol Ein Bila, I would have said maybe he says nothing has Bila. Maybe he holds even liquids don't mix perfectly. And therefore, the chiddush of the third statement that he holds, Lakol Ein Bila, he need to tell us that because, granted, everything doesn't mix well, solids don't mix well, but he does hold that Yayin and Shemen do mix well. And therefore, if you were to mix Chodesh and Yoshin wines together, or olive oil together, the Shemen together, Chodesh and Yoshin, that's not a problem. There is Bila, and that's Kumash Bulan, the Yayin and the Shemen, Yesh Bila. With this, we conclude today's share.